Well, on a light side for a moment, I found a book while I was waiting. My wife loves having a Starbucks coffee and sitting in chapters. Not necessarily my favorite thing to do, but one day I was just goofing around, so I'm walking around looking at things, and I found this book that said, the title was A Man's Thesaurus. And so I said, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. I'll look in there. So ladies, please allow me to translate a few things of what men don't always say what they mean. And a couple of the things I read in there was, when a man says, it would take too long to explain, he means, I really have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, well, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? When a man says, it's a guy thing, he really means, there's no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all in making any logic out of it. If a man says, I can't find it, he means, it didn't fall into my outstretched hands, so I'm completely clueless. When a man says, I heard you, he means, I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so that you won't spend the next 3 days yelling at me. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means, no one will ever see us alive again. And when a man says, that's not what I meant, he means, if something that I said could be interpreted two ways, and one of those ways make you sad or angry, I meant the other. You know, sometimes it's really difficult in this quest of life to understand just how different we are. Now, we just came through our marriage course, and part of our marriage course, the very first round of our marriage course to set things up and to help us get into place, and that was trying to help us understand the differences between men and women. Pink usually represents a baby girl. Blue usually represents a baby. So in that part is they use those colors of pink and blue. That when a woman speaks, she speaks through a pink megaphone, hears through pink earbuds, and sees through pink colored glasses. When a man speaks, he speaks through a blue megaphone, has blue earbuds, and blue sunglasses. Hence, really quick, an analogy he gave. When a woman says, I have nothing to wear, it usually means I've got nothing new or nothing that fits. When a man says the exact same thing, it usually means everything's dirty, there's nothing clean. Now, when a woman says to another woman, I've got nothing to wear, right away, so you want to go shopping? You want to go do this? Oh, well, don't worry, I've got this, it's okay, totally understand. Where you say it to a guy and we're like, you know, laundry's done, you know, or, you know, whatever. And we, again, same thing, but just different. And the key to remember is not right, not wrong, just different. Wives, be patient with your husbands. God created him to be male, created him to be a man, right? And when a man, his heartbeat gets to 99 beats per minute, he's in warrior mode. And so the only honorable thing he can do is to take a half a step back from the situation. But the tendency of that is, is what do as wives do? They take four steps forward because we got to deal with this. We got to get into this. But his heartbeat's going so much. He's saying, whoa, just give me a moment. I got to calm down for a moment here. Because God created men to be warriors. He created men to be champions. He created men and that to stand up. If I could find a man that would stand in the gap, I would save a nation. Build a wall and stand in the gap. See, God created us unique and different. And so men, you're you. Oh yes, sometimes we got to get on the potter's wheel and let him chisel some things because a little too much fill in there. But God created you uniquely. We're in need of a few good men just like you. God is looking for a few good men just like you. Not like everyone else, but just like you. And he's longing for us to understand that this might be hard for me to wear. Because I look around this room and I say, man, you know, so-and-so's, man, they sure look like a better dad than me. Man, I say, and I hear myself saying this as I was praying and thinking time over this, and God's been really challenging my heart. I've said multiple times, I'm sure no one else has ever said things like this, but this is Phil, candid moment. I've said multiple times, if I could be just a quarter of the man that my dad was, I'd be pretty proud. But yet, talking with my dad would say, man, do you know how many times I fell down? Do you know how many times I struggled and went through? It's kind of like Facebook. All we ever see sometimes or we remember is only the big moments and the good and these things. And God is just wanting to bring some things down a little bit. You're uniquely you, and he created you for to be the man that you are today. So don't be overcome by fear. Don't be overcome by trying to fit into a pink world, which has drastically changed in our society today. And that you are blue, you are a man for a reason, and God has called you forth. And if there was ever a time in a season we need a few good men to stand, it's today. Statistics tell us as we look at church growth and we look at church and we look at things, and that statistics say that if a mom opens her heart to the Lord and she decides, you know what, hey, I want to bring my family along, 50% or 55, maybe moving just close to 60% of the time, the rest of the family will come. But if a dad opens his heart towards the Lord and he says, hey, you know what? God, he's real. And man, I really want to open my heart to him and I want to put him first in our lives. It's into the mid to high 80% of the family will follow. Why? Because God created the men to lead. He created men to stand into that place. It's not a value of things, but it's a calling on your life, men. God's called and drawn you to a place to stand and to move and to lead and to fight in that, not necessarily flesh and blood, but to fight for your family, to fight for your marriage, that it's worth it. It's worth it. The tough thing is when we start to get confused because of all the things that come around us, all the challenges. And we can easily get distracted on who we're fighting and what we're doing. God's just looking for a few good men. A few good men who know their king. A few good men that know their king. They know who they're fighting for. Because if you don't know who you're fighting for, you're probably not going to fight very well. He says it this way in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Whose strength? His strength. Another portion of Scripture says, when you are weak, he is. So here all of a sudden we come into this place, and I wrestle for a few moments here, because in our schools today, they've made a big change. Like, I don't know, when I grew up, man, it was like, I won the race. You know, it was, I was the champ, I was the winner, right? There was winners and there was, well, in our society today, you're not allowed to say a loser, right? I'm not saying that was good or bad, so please follow me for a few seconds before I get in trouble here. But now it's, we're all participants. It doesn't really matter. Just, you know, it's okay. Society has broken down so much of that manhood that I remember getting call after call after call way back in primary school, and that when all of a sudden it was like, you know, your son played football with his friends and he tackled someone. That's not allowed. Don't get me wrong. I know how things get out of hand. I get all of that stuff. But boys are boys. And in this part of society we move into, this idea of this champion or rising to the occasion, the Bible says, run in such a way to win the race, the prize is set before you. God created you to succeed, not to fail. Amen? I got plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. So listen, I'm going to be bold enough with a statement here. You can talk to me after if I'm off a little bit here. But I think it's pretty darn right impossible for a Christian to fail. Unless we outright just want to. Because even when I fall down and I mess up, God says he will turn it around for good. So it's pretty hard for me to fail if I'm putting Christ first. No matter what I go through, no matter what's gone on, no matter what regret you might have, God says you'll turn it around for good. And maybe today is a good day for some of our men to lay down some regrets. My dad, who I said if I could be a quarter of who he was, I'd be pretty proud. You know, he never came to one of my games that I played. Not one. I mean, that was a pretty big deal because I played all sorts of sports and I played at quite a competitive levels and everything else, and yet because of work was so busy, he never came. Now, for me, God shifted in my heart that I began to understand just how much work he was doing. And it became a moment in my life, man, you know, I feel for Dad, you know. Instead of taking it as a negative, I started to feel for him. But one of my other brothers, to this day, it still cuts him. Time, the regrets that we might have of missing something or whatever, we can't get those things back. But as long as we have breath in our lungs, we can change it today. We all have them. Talking with my dad, he starts to share, you know, well, my dad never went to anything I did. So that was the pattern he thought was normal. It wasn't because he didn't care. It was just the pattern. And how many know, not every pattern in life, just because it always was, it doesn't mean it should always be that way. Maybe today it's not regrets, but maybe today is a great day to change a pattern. Amen? What is the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing and expect something different? It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Maybe today is a good day to break a pattern, to shift where we're moving and how we're walking and how we're moving, to learn how to fight well for our families, for our marriages, and that for our loved ones, for our neighbors, and for our friends. Because there is a real battle that's going on. And men, you were created to be that warrior. And that men, you were created to stand in that gap. And he's looking for a few good men that will rise into that place. The spiritual battle that is around us, it's a war. It's not yours, and it's not mine. We're not the king. It's not our kingdom, it's his. And he's called us as soldiers, as laborers for the great and glorious and our great king, and that his sons and daughters of his that he's adopted in, and that for us to stand up in battle. The question is, how in the world am I going to live? How am I going to live when the enemy keeps shooting his arrows, taunting me, trying to overwhelm me, trying to beat me down, trying to get me distracted, trying to get me worked up so that those 99 beats get up and instead of taking a step back, I just come out with some words or reaction. And we have this battle that's going on around all the time, exhausting, trying to destroy you, your business, your family, your relationships, your ministry, trying to destroy the church constantly. Well, let me say this. You're not going to make it for a full lifetime. You can't make it for a lifetime. You can't motivate yourself on your own to win a war that lasts a lifetime. You can motivate yourself to get that spring cleaning done when you really don't want to. Why? Because you know, maybe in an hour, maybe in a day or a week, if it's really bad, it's going to get done. But for a believer in Christ, we're in a war our whole life. We're in a battle our whole life. And we see many start well, but then all of a sudden they get tired and they cut out. I went to my youngest daughter's track meet and I watched scorching heat. I mean, we got hot up in Suluco, but man, it's like this muggy grab a hold of you stickiness that we're just not used to yet. And my poor little daughter, you know, a couple weeks before it was really cool out, she was winning first place and second and all sorts, and she gets out there, and she's just, and she's just dying in this heat. I'm watching all these kids run, and I'm feeling, my heart's just going, oh my goodness, I'm feeling for them. As they're running around the race, I watched some of them, they cut out, and they just couldn't go anymore, or sheer exhaustion of the heat. We've watched that in the Christian realm, in the race that he's called us to, where people were running hard for him, and then all of a sudden, Scripture put it this way, who or what cut in on you? What did you allow to cut in on you? To get your mind off focus, to get your heart off the right focus, to let someone or something cut in to stop you from loving your wife, from loving your kids, from being that dad, from being that wife, being that person he's called you to be. Whatever it is, pause for a moment, find that out. And if it's a matter of repenting, repent. If it's not repenting, then it's a matter of forgiving, forgive. And then just move. But not having our yesterday, not having a moment to define who we are, but allowing him to do that. You're not going to make it that lifetime on your own. There's no shortcut in this lifetime of war. You're going to need the strength that is beyond you, a strength that is apart from you. So the Lord says, be strong. How? In the strength of his might. You need to know your king. You need to know not the whole world doesn't rest on your shoulders. Men. Dads, we need to remind ourselves. Why? We bring the bacon home. We take care of things. Everything rises and falls on us. No, it doesn't. Where in Scripture does it say that? Everything rises and falls on Him. In fact, as much as I love my kids, and that He's only entrusted them to me because they're His kids first. They're His kids first. We need to stop taking all the weight upon us as if in our own might, our own strength, our own ability, we've got to do all of these things. And we've got to pause. And we need to get to know our King. And we need to allow Him and His might to give us the things that we need. Jesus is going to need to give you His strength because yours just won't do. You can't serve Jesus for a lifetime without Jesus' strength. You just can't. You won't make it the distance. It's not just a kickoff I need, but it's every day that I need that. That's why He says, I'm the bread of life. If anyone's thirsty, come. And if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. It's because every day, just like food and water that we need Him. We need Him in our life. You can't love your spouse for a lifetime without Jesus' strength. You can't raise your children for a lifetime without Jesus' strength. You can't be faithful a church member or a part of church life for a lifetime without Jesus' strength. You can't be faithful Christian leader for a lifetime without Jesus' strength. It's His war fought by His strength, and it is ultimate. And this is ultimately the person, the presence, and the power of Holy Spirit that is given to you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. He's looking for a few good men to stand in the gap. The same Holy Spirit who empowered the war and that the battle, the life of Jesus against temptation and exhaustion, against sickness, against opposition and criticism, how Jesus persevered, how He was strong, was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He sends that same Holy Spirit to empower you and me. So what's the secret? The secret is simply this. It's found in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All men, warriors, champions. God created you to succeed. So it's pretty hard for you not to succeed. The key is don't be looking to your left and right to see where your success is going to come from. Well, if I'm a little better than this person, you know, then I made it. No. Did I accomplish what He asked me to do? Did I stand when He said stand and I move when He said move? Am I in that place? And you succeed. Because God says He's prepared every good thing for you men in advance. Everything. Everything. So you just got to do that and you will succeed. Anytime I've tried to fight in my own power, I lose very quickly. I run out of energy, guaranteed. Anytime I'm strengthened by the strength of His might, I find I can do all things. There's nothing I can't do. I can endure all things. There's nothing I can't endure. And He gets the glory, and I get the joy. He gets the glory, but I get the joy. A joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that renews my strength, a joy that just gives me that energy inside of me. When I return the glory to Him, it's like deposits of glory, a joy come into me. It is good to serve the Lord. It is exciting to be a part of what He's doing. And as we are faithful to return to Him, to know who our King is and who we're fighting for, it shifts everything. That's what the Christian life is all about. All God is asking you to do is what you cannot do. All that God is asking you to do is what you can't do. That's all he's asking you to do. I don't know about you, but I felt it many times. Like, God, you're asking me to do something that I can't do. And his answer is, good. Now you're clear on our orders. Walk by faith and not by sight. Speak forth things that are not as if they were, and call them into being. He's looking for a few good men that would stand in that place and understand we cannot fail. We cannot fail if we allow him to renew our strength. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap for me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I don't know about you, but there's many good men here today. And that good, not because we've done everything right, but because we know who we are, whose we are. We know who we're fighting for. We know why we're here. And if we can allow God to continue to strengthen us, when we allow God to continue to lead us, you cannot fail. We can wear a shirt like this and be proud. Not because I always do it right. Not because you always do it right. But because we've got a great God that's always picking up our pieces and helping us. Always helping us. So when we're weak, he is strong. When I mess up, he's right there to help me. And that he's not against you. He is for you. God knows what it's like to be a dad. And he's acting one out to you today, men. He's for you, and he's not against you. Maybe today is a good day. Let go of a few regrets. And to say, hey, it's a brand new day. And our golfing part that we had a moment where we said, you know what, hey, when you get up there, you can call one mulligan if you need to. I need a redo. Well, with God, I don't know if there's any end to the mulligans. If it is, I don't know why I'm here now. But he just allows us. He says, you know what, let's do that again, son. Come on, let's do this. Let's walk this way. He's for you and not against you. Amen? Can you stand with me this morning? The kids are going to come. They've prepared some stuff to bless the dads and men here, so we're going to do that in just a second. But before we do that and before we pray over our men and just thank God for you, I just really feel God's trying to challenge our hearts here. It's a new day. It's a new day. And by faith, we're believing that God has not forgotten. He's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten us. God's plans are not thwarted by anything. That it is almost impossible for a Christian to fail when we allow him to lead. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone that's holding on to regrets and they're feeling like they failed in an area, Lord, your promise is you will turn everything around for good. So, Lord, would you give them the boldness and strength? Would you help them as they get back up from that moment and maybe re-engage in that relationship or re-engage with that person? God, as they stand back up into that position that maybe they forfeited and they pulled back from because they felt like, I don't really deserve it. And then all sorts of other things pile upon them. This is a good day for a brand new day. It's a good day for a mulligan. So Lord, would you turn around, Lord, and would you just come and speak into those regrets and those moments, and would you start to begin to turn them around for good, that they'll become glory moments for you and joy moments for us, that all the things the enemy thought that he had landmines in our lives, that if we just step that way, it's going to destroy us, it's going to blow us up, it's going to do this, and all those things that he's, that God, would you just help us understand they're all duds? They're all duds, Lord. They're nothing, those landmines that he's put, because no weapon formed against us will prosper when we put you first, when we look to you. Lord, when we look to you, Lord, you renew our minds, you renew our thinking. So God, Lord, I pray for that right now. God, I thank you for each and every man. I thank you for each and every woman here today. I thank you for each and every person here today. Lord, we do want to make it for the lifetime. Whatever that length is, Lord, we want to make the distance. We want to run the race, not getting so easily entangled. So thank you for reminding us just who we're fighting for and whose battle it is. Thank you for the challenge that you bring into our heart over and over again to be renewed. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks for that right now and continue to challenge our hearts to be renewed and to grow and to let go of yesterday and embrace today, Lord. God, Lord, for you have good things planned in store. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that right now, and we honor you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask the kids to come forward. They're going to come, and if you guys can just line up against the front up here. You just line up along here, guys. Daddy's little princess. Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord. So what I'm going to ask is I'm going to ask if the fathers or the dads, the men that are here today, okay, you might say, well, what do you mean? I'm not a dad. God has called all of us to be spiritual dads. Amen? And as we recognize that, we understand that we've got people looking up to us all the time, and we want to honor that too. So I'm going to ask if all of the fathers, all of the men would come forward at this time, and the kids would like to present you with something, and then you just take a second, and we're going to pray over you, and then we'll close the service. So men, would you come? Would you come? Allow the kids to honor you this morning. Just, you can walk right up to one of them, and once you've got one, just step back towards the pews, and that, don't go back to your seat yet. Just stay right up here with us. Kids, you can go ahead, and you can walk up, and you can start handing them out whatever you want to do. Make this as easy as we can. Once you've received it, Ben, I just going to ask you just to stay. Once you've received, I'm going to ask you to stay. Owen, can you take two of yours up top to the boys upstairs? Nathan. Man. Okay, Owen, just grab Nathan back there. We don't want him left out, right? Oh, he's coming up. He's coming up. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think Owen's making his way up to you, guys. He's coming around. I see him coming up through the glass. On behalf of the leadership of Rockcliffe, we want to say thank you, men. Thank you. And that for just being you. It's not all in you do. Right? Because there's nothing you can do to add to God's love, to make your dad more proud of you. In our earthly realm, we sure feel like that, though, don't we? Sometimes we can feel like that. I've got to do more. I've got to make my dad proud. I've got to have this. I've got to... God's simply saying, just breathe. I'm already proud of you. You're my son, in whom I'm well pleased. He is for you and not against you. So thanks for being a great pops. Thanks for being a great man that's opened your heart to say, God, I don't got all the answers, but I trust you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord and that to just to bless. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now. God, I thank you for each and every man here represents a family, represents other people, Lord, and they're here today standing in the gap. Lord, they're here today and that taking a step to say, hey, God, I want you to be in my life. I want you to lead. And so, God, Lord, I pray favor. Lord, I pray favor over them. I pray that wherever they place their foot, Lord, like you spoke, Lord, to Joshua, wherever you place your foot, I'll give it to you. God, Lord, I pray for a courageous and a boldness to rise inside of each and every one of us as men, Lord, just like you said to Joshua. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, like Caleb and Joshua, Lord, God, they saw all the things that are around that are not so good. They heard the not so good reports. But in the middle of that, they raised up to say, yeah, that might be true, but my God's bigger. So God, I thank you for the men here today that will simply echo those words. My God's bigger. My God's able. It's his war and he's won. He's able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I just thank you for the men right now. I just bless their marriages. Lord, if they're married, I bless. Lord, if they're not married, I bless, Lord, their time in the singleness and what you have for them, Lord. God, during that season, Lord, I just bless them, Lord. I overwhelm them with your goodness, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in the days ahead, Lord, we will look ahead and say, God, what is it you want me to do? And we will step into that place knowing that you have already prepared and you've already set everything in motion that we cannot fail. We cannot fail in Jesus' name. So bless the men, I pray, and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.